So I'll be reading here. Just follow me with your eyes as I read Job chapter 34, verses 10 to 20. Job chapter 34, verses 10 to 20. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. For be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his works, and makes man to find a reward according to his ways. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole world? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and to his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die, in the middle of the night, the people are shaken and pass away, the mighty are taken away without a hand. May God bless our reading his word. I did that for a purpose because silence is deafening, right? Have you ever been in a room where you can't hear anything? Or it's like you're trying to listen, nothing's there. Or have you ever been in a place where it's really silence, like it's deafening. Like I was born in a city. I know the Philippines is not so big, but I'm a city boy, not really a country town or a provincial kind. But later during my primary years, we transferred to a province where, because my mother was already working there. But yeah, it's different. It's different. I don't hear the sounds of jeepneys if you have been to the Philippines. I don't hear the sounds of many cars at all. Because it's the place where my grandparents are. It's not very loud because people are just living simply. You know, silence is something that not all people like. But there are some people who love silence. Me and my wife were two different individuals because I like to talk to people. I'm very talkative. Sometimes I talk a lot and she would stop me. Well, but her case, she's not really into that she speaks. But of course, as she grows right now, she interacts, of course. But that's not her thing. And some people were like that. You just want to be silent. You just want to do something. So what's my point of saying that? Well, sometimes in our lives, silence is one of the things that we don't like. But there's a lot of lessons that we could learn from those silence. Let me just read again in Job 34. I'm just going to be reading verse 14 and 15. He said, if he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. Let me just pray quickly. Gracious Lord, bless your word tonight. Use your servant and just hide him behind your cross and you will be seen and not him. In Jesus' name, amen. Silence, the absence of noise or sound. Silence can express a mood of gloom and despair. And silence can also express fear and reverence. Is that what you're thinking about God today? That God is silent? I don't know if what you are going through right now. Like, people come to church with a face that you don't recognize that there's something going on in that life. Last Sunday, we were in Mudgee. I was preaching about the life of Barnabas, because we seldom hear Barnabas as someone who would preach in the pulpit. But if we remember, Barnabas is Paul's discipler. He discipled Paul. And we would not have the Paul that we have except for Barnabas. So Barnabas was the son of encouragement. And many people would come to church with a heavy heart. We just don't see it. We just don't acknowledge and see it because we don't ask. And maybe they're just good in hiding things. And when we talk about struggles, when we talk about pains that people are experiencing, no one could really maybe top what Job experienced, right? You would agree with me that Job really experienced a very, very sad experience, like losing your own family, your kids. You've been taking care of them and all of a sudden they're gone. Your livestock, you've been preparing it, you've been taking care of it, and all of a sudden it's gone. And even your wife now is telling you, Job, would you serve God? Curse God and die. And you're left on yourself, and now here comes your three friends, would tell you the same thing, that you've done so wrong, that you've deserved what you have, without even asking how you're going, how are you feeling, what are you going through? Just judging you based on what you're feeling. And that's what Job might be experiencing. Silence from God. And sometimes we're becoming deaf to silence. When silence comes, do we tend to complain or question God, why? Why, dear Lord, why? You know, for us, sometimes we don't really go through this very hard time compared to our brothers and sisters in areas where they don't really know why they are going through what they're going through because of their faith in the Lord. And there are questions that, Lord, why? I'm serving you. I'm giving my life to you. I'm preaching your word. I'm telling every people, but why am I experiencing this? And sometimes we think we know God. But when we get to this kind of scenario, we suddenly forget God exists and we try to question God's silence or even his existence. I know you might think this is far off or that will never happen to me. Well, even the strongest man in the Bible called David told God that his bones are waxing old because he feels God is so far because of his sin. Of course, it was because of his sin, but sometimes because of the silence that he is going through. Now, we also question, if we're going through that, does God really cares for us? Does God really love us? If he really loves us, then why do he allow me to go through this? You know, this world that we're living is a sin-filled world. And I know that we will experience that. But you know God, what? I mean, the title of this sermon is When God is Silent. But you know what? God is never silent if we only listen. The problem is we don't know how to listen. And in these chapter 34, I know you've maybe read Job, and I know maybe you know the three friends of Job, except for this another friend who comes in, whose name is Elihu. And you might ask, why is he in the picture, and what is he doing here? And that's what we're going to be learning today, and in connection with the silence that Job is feeling, that Job is experiencing from the Lord. Because he thinks this chapter 34 is already in a part where Job is already questioning God. Of course, we cannot blame Job. Who can blame Job? He is in the deepest state of his self, and now he got no one that supports him, that even his other half is trying to betray him and tell him, you curse God, and now he's alone. Of course, you cannot blame him by becoming human and questioning God. We too will come to that point. But then, if ever we are in that situation, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? And where should God be in that moment? But then again, God is never silent if we only listen. This afternoon, or this evening, we will learn just three characters of God if ever we go through in times like this. There's three characteristics of God that we need to put in our hearts, in our minds, so that when we go through the same chapter in our lives where it seems to be silent, where it seems to be God is not telling us anything, it would remind us of who God is. Just a little background of Elihu. Elihu is introduced here in Job 32 verses 2 to 5. And he was mentioned from chapter 32 to chapter 37. Elihu is a young man, and Elihu is an angry man. In verse 4, it says here, "Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good." Elihu, as young as he is, he waited before he was speaking. Of course, this would tell us that Elihu is young because he waited for Job's three friends to finish talking to Job before he spoke. You know, age and personal accomplishments would simply be a reference to Elihu's name and would tell us who he is, even though we don't have any other information of who Elihu is. And one thing is sure, and if we notice, amongst Job's three friends, if you remember them, even Job has the shortest friend in the whole world. You remember that? Yeah, Bildad, the Shuhite, it's the shortest man. So among his three friends, their names were only mentioned, but Elihu, his lineage is mentioned. That's an important thing. Because if we go through history, there's a very important thing that Elihu, when you read commentaries and you read Bible scholars, most of the time Elihu is a negative talker or a speaker. But then we see positive things in Elihu. Elihu is just a man trying to tell Job and focusing on Job's attention and his view about God right now through his emotions, because Job is emotional. Job is forgetting who God is, and Elihu comes to remind him of who God is. And this is a wonderful picture and a wonderful preparation before God speaks to Job. Would you want a friend to speak to you, or would you want God to speak to you? I tell you, I would rather have a friend speak to me, because I'd be afraid if God would speak to me. You remember the Israelites? When they were speaking to them, or God was speaking to Israelites, and the Israelites would tell Moses, please speak to us instead of God, because they were afraid. Because that's really, you would be afraid of what God would tell you. And this is the preparation of everything before God was talking to Job. So three characteristics that would remind us through the life of Elihu, rebuking Job, that would prepare God for Job. So three characteristics of God. Number one, let's never forget that God is infallible. God never does wrong. In verses 10 to 12, just follow me with your Bibles, please. He said, "Therefore listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, or from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his works, and makes man to find a reward according to his ways. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice." The word infallible, it means not capable of erring, entirely exempt from liability to mistake. Applied to a person, no man is infallible. Even the big church is claiming their head is infallible. No, no man is infallible. Infallible is the prerogative of God only. No one else. Other meaning is not liable to fail or to deceive, confident, certain as infallible evidence, infallible success, to whom he shows himself alive after his passion, that's Jesus, by many infallible proof. You know, this short sentence establishes the premise that God does not pervert justice. And even it answers Bildad's rhetorical question in Job chapter 8 verse 3, where he told Job, doth God pervert judgment or doth the Almighty pervert justice? It also addresses Job's fear that he has been wronged by God in Job chapter 19 verse 6. So all of this is Elihu reminding Job that, Job, yes, you might feel God is silent right now, but please remember this, God is infallible. He is not capable of doing wrong. In Romans chapter 9 verse 14. I know you don't have time to go there, but just write it down and read it later. It would remind us that says this, is there unrighteousness with God? Of course none. But this moment Job may feel hurt about why he's going through this rough and tough times. I don't know if we're going through that right now. I don't know if we are experiencing that right now. And sometimes we show ourselves to church, but the worst is most of the people that go through this, they don't show themselves to church. They would remorse, they would feel sorry about themselves, they will feel pity, and they would hate God. There are a lot of people that go through that, that until they see things clearly, they would be reminded of who God is. No, he continues in saying in verse 11 that God is entirely fair and will repay man for what he has done. I don't know what is going through again in your mind right now and in your life. Maybe you're asking God, Lord, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Do I deserve this? You know, this generation today, I really feel sad with this generation. Because young people right now, they're looking for higher pay, lesser work. And they would say, I deserve this. We don't deserve anything. I mean, people in the past would understand hard work. That's why even Elihu would say, you know what? God would reward those people, would repay a man for what he has done. And yes, Job was asking that, am I going through this because God is repaying me for what I have done? Oh, God wronged me. That's why Job felt that. But Elihu was there telling him, you know what? God is not capable of doing wrong. Maybe you're going through that right now because God is testing you. Maybe God is silent and not doing anything because he wanted you to seek him and to draw closer to him. Sometimes we forget that part of drawing closer to God. Sometimes we get close to everything, and we tend to forget and be comfortable with things, and we tend to forget who we are and where we are right now. This is what Job is saying. Why does the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? And why does God do things to good men? Well, a reminder from the Word of God, there is none good, no, not one. No one is good but God. For sure, God sees and God knows. You know, when God does something, the God of Scripture acts on the basis of righteousness rather than a whim or a sudden idea of mind. Just always remember that. We sometimes think of something and we do it right away. But God is not like that. If God does something, it is always in the basis of his righteousness rather than a whim or a sudden idea of mind. We may not be able to fathom it and understand it, but my friend, know this. Put this in our hearts and our mind. God is not capable of doing wrong. Yes, we may seek answers. I know last time we've been through answers to Genesis. But there are times that God just doesn't answer us. But we just need to follow and trust Him. If we truly trust Him, then we don't need any reason not to, right? If we truly trust Him, then we don't have any reasons not to fully give ourselves to the Lord. The second truth of Elihu telling Job about his situation, not only he's telling Job that God is infallible, God is never wrong, but second is that God is omnipotent. That means God is all power, omnipotent, almighty, possessing unlimited power, all powerful. The being that can create worlds must be omnipotent. We all know this, that God is all powerful, that when He made all creation, it was creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. He just spoke it and made it. Having unlimited power or a particular kind as omnipotent love. We talked about omnipotent love of God or the love this morning. And a wonderful reminder for us to have tonight that God is so supreme that He is accountable to nobody. His supremacy is displayed in how He keeps the earth and its inhabitants in existing. God only has withdrawn His spirit and His breath, that according to verses 14 and 15, and all flesh will fail. We will all die. That God is so powerful that He can take back whatever He has given in an instant. That's why if ever we are feeling low and we are going through this situation, if you are in this situation right now and you think that God does not care for you and has left you, think again. Always remember that only God can take this life. I was just reminded this week, I was talking to a medical doctor. He's a doctor. In the early 2000s, he was abducted by the Taliban in Pakistan. We were talking to him, interviewing him, hoping that I could visit him. And he was sharing this while he was there with the Taliban. After a few days of being there, the Taliban went to his room and asked him, "Do you think your God exists?" And he was really bold and brave. And he said, "Yes." And he said, "You know what? And the Taliban told him, "You know what? If we kill you right now, your God doesn't exist." And this, I also remember what he said. And this is what he said to the Taliban. "Only God can take my life. If you take my life today, that means God allowed you to take my life. Still, it's not you, it's God." And just hearing that from him, he was in the verge of being killed by a terrorist. I don't know if we would be able to say the same words when we're facing a terrorist, someone that would kill us, someone that would take our life, that our life belonged to God and it is God only that has the right to take this life. I don't know if we would say the same. But he said those words. First, to make the long story short, after 25 days, he was released. Shared his testimony about that. And now still continue to do his ministry. Medical doctor here and also going to Pakistan every now and then. But he just retired recently. So he said, "I want to do ministry full time in Pakistan." He was in that situation. He didn't understand why. He was helping people with medical needs. But all of a sudden, these people just kidnapped him and wanted to kill him because he's a Christian too. If that would happen to us, can we really say that God, my life belongs to God and only God can take it? You know what? God always has the power to remove us, even the challenges that surround us. But He does not do that. Rather, he wants us to draw near to him in times like this so that we could see his power to overcome and we could experience him more in our life, knowing that he is there and nothing is impossible with God. Story after story in the Old and New Testament. Remember Sarah when the angel came to Abram and said Sarah would be pregnant, and Sarah laughed because she was old. And then the angel said, "Why'd you laugh? Is there something impossible that God cannot do?" Of course, nothing, right? Nothing. Only God can help us overcome whatever we are going through. This is what Elihu said to Job. And as he was going through his problem, maybe the same thing that Elihu would tell us today. Maybe we need a friend like Elihu to tell us that today. Maybe we're going through that time or that chapter in our life and we need an Elihu to tell us the reality of who God is and what we need to hear from God. And that's always amazing to God. Remember again, David, when David thought he can go away with his sin, that he was already freed because Bathsheba's husband already died. He's now freed, but she was already pregnant with his son, and all's well and ends well. But then at the end, Prophet Nathan came to David and confronted him with this problem. Maybe we need an Elihu right now. Maybe we're questioning God and we're feeling this kind of feeling that Job is having, and Elihu would just, that friend, an Elihu kind of friend would tell us, you know, brother, you know, sister, we should not be impatient, but rather we should be drawn to that challenge because God is always with us. I don't know if you're listening to Filipino gospel hymns. There's a hymn or a song in the Philippines that says, he's a gospel singer. He said, the song goes, "Take me out of the dark, my Lord. I don't want to be there." But that's an opposite to what David say. "Though I walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that's the presence of God, and that's the power of God. And we must remind ourselves that even how heavy the burden is that we are going through right now, God is able to rescue us and to help us in that kind of situation, no matter how dire that situation may be. Third and the last. Not only Elihu was reminding Job that God is infallible, God is omnipotent. I know this basic to us, but third, God is just. God's justice is superior. Before I proceed, you know, when we talk about justice, this is a very interesting thing because even in our life today, there's been debate with Christian world about justice, social justice, and all these justices, you know. But if we only focus on what justice really means, it simply means God always deal equitably with all men by holding them accountable to himself and to the same standard while rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked. That's God's justice. Yes, we may not see it right there. Just like all the prophets of old questioning God, just like everybody questioning, "Lord, why are we suffering? Why is this happening?" Just like Job asking, "Why is this happening?" In verse 17, if you look at your Bibles, Elihu was telling Job, "Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just?" In other words, could God govern if he hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? If you think that God is wrong in dealing with you right now, if you think that God is wrong in giving you that situation right now, would you condemn God for doing that? In other words, he's saying that, "Job, how dare you call into question the justice of God?" And sometimes we don't see it, but we all go through this too. We question the justice of God. We question, God, why is this happening? You know, surely God is worthy of much more greater honor, right? We give honor to dignitaries in this world. We give honor to whoever honor is due. But then why are we not giving greater honor to our only God and King? Why is God worthy of such honor? Let me give you two reasons. I know there's a lot, but let me give you two basic reasons why God is worthy to be honored and not questioning His justice. Number one, because God is no respecter of any person. In verse 19, look at, yet He is not partial to princes, nor does He regard the rich more than the poor, for they are the works of His hands. Even in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it all says there are all works of this hand. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 35, then Peter opened up his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but is in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God does not have favoritism. Simply put it that way. Yes, God chose a nation to be as an example, but they themselves did not follow the commandments of God. That's why they were punished because of their disobedience. Elihu could be alluding to Job's protests in Job chapter 10 verse 3. That Job was questioning God's justice. That God, despite the work of his hand, even though Job does shift ground to a beautiful positive recognition of God in Job chapter 14 verse 15. But still, Elihu is telling Job, always remember, God is just. And God's justice is superior. You and we can never question God's justice. Second reason why God is worthy to be honored, because of His justice. Not only is not no respecter of any person, but second, God is also all-powerful and everlasting, whereas man is dependent on God and short-lived. That's verse 20. If you look at your Bibles, it says, in a moment they die, in the middle of the night, the people are shaken and pass away, the mighty are taken away without a hand. It simply means, the mighty are taken away without hand means no human hand. God does not answer to anybody, only to Himself. God doesn't need to answer to us. Yes, we may have a lot of questions, we may have all this, but you know what? God does not need to answer us. Mortal men may question the judgment of God, but they do in opposition to the fact that God knows everything. He is completely aware of all circumstances and whatever the case is at hand. Listen, God will not be regulated in His dealings by what man may think. He does not consult man. If He do things, He would do things according to His righteous judgment. Yes, we may not, again, 100% understand it. And we may not 100% have the answers, but if we have faith and we know that God is good and He only wants the good and the best for us, then we should submit. If He chooses to chasten, He will decide when it is enough. If He chooses to, of course, to reward, He would know how much is enough. Fairness is a human concept based on personal circumstances and in relation to how others treated. Because God is just, He must reward the righteous and punish the wicked, according to Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Elihu was a friend of Job, just reminding him who God really is. And I believe that's what we need right now. If we're questioning God, if we're having a lot of things, a lot of complaints to the Lord would maybe send us a friend named Elihu that would remind us who he is. And I believe that we need that kind of friend right now. We need to be reminded of who God is and look at ourselves of who we are in God. We need to realize that we are nothing without God. I know sometimes it's easy to say all these things, but when we are in that situation, it's hard. I know that. Because I've also been in that pit. Only by the grace of God that I was able to be drawn back to Him and be used by the Lord. Let me just end with this quote from one of the great chess player in the whole world. Chess master once said, "My lessons consist of a lot of silence. I listen to other teachers and they're always talking. I let my students think. If I do ask a question and I don't get the right answer, I'll rephrase the question and wait. I never give the answer. Most of us really don't appreciate the power of silence. Some of the most effective communication between the student and the teacher, between a master player, takes place during silent periods." You know, when we think God is silent, God is never silent. The Bible itself is very clear. It gives us the best example. Old Testament to the New Testament, we have 400 years of silence that God was not speaking to someone, but God was in the background. God was doing a lot of things, preparing the way for Galatians 4:4, that in the fullness of time, Jesus would come. Language was already prepared by the Greeks. The hope was still there with the Jews. And the Rome already prepared the roads so that the gospel would be easier to be propagated. People may think God was silent. God was never silent. God was already working in the background. And right now, you may be listening. You may be going through rough and tough times. And you may think that God is silent. Listen, God is working in your life right now. You just need to listen. I know hard times develop our character. Also, hard times develop or hardens heart. So be careful what we choose. And be careful where we choose. Through silence, we wait and ponder what God is teaching us in that moment. This is where we will be closer to our Master. And we will be able to commune with Him in an intimate matter. Again, learn to listen and learn in silence. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Lord and merciful Father, forgive us for the times that we feel you're distant to us. We feel that you don't care about us. We feel that sometimes the weight is so heavy that you don't really love us or care for us. Lord, we know that all things that is happening to us is always for our good. Things that you're doing to chasten us, to make us a better person, to make us a Christian that you want us to be. Father, teach us to be patient. Teach us to learn in silence. Teach us to see your hand working in our lives. And rebuke us if we would be in that situation, questioning you, asking you why, Lord. I know it would be hard, but Lord, please don't let go of us, as you promised you would never forsake us nor reject us. Just help us in this situation. And Father, I pray, if there's anyone who's listening right now online or is here today, going through that emotional struggle right now, going through that spiritual struggle right now, remind him or her, Father, you are there. You're always there. In Jesus' name, amen.